This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Your Purpose-Centered Life on the Personal Life Media Network. My name is Eric Maisel, and I'd like to invite you to spend some time with me today exploring the vital subject of meaning. I want to teach you how to fill your life with meaning and how to avoid meaning crises and the problems that flow from them, like chronic anxiety and depression. Each week, we'll explore an important aspect of this territory. We start each week from the following vantage point that you can take charge of the meaning in your life. You can decide where you want to make your meaning investments. You can decide what values you want to uphold. And you can decide how you want to manifest your potential. All of this is within your grasp. On this program, you'll learn how to lead the life you've always intended leading. Today's show is the first in a series called The Art of Making Meaning, a series that introduces the idea that meaning is not something to seek or something to find, but rather something to make. Today's show is called Getting Started. Let's begin. Tens of millions of Americans just like you, thoughtful, sensitive, book-reading Americans who bought and read Sam Harris's The End of Faith, Daniel Dennett's Breaking the Spell, Christopher Hitchens' God is Not Great, and Richard Dawkins' The God Delusion, and who keep books like Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning a perennial bestseller, are looking for a coherent plan to follow as they try to make sense of modern life. Books like The End of Faith have helped articulate the problem, but many people are still looking for answers. Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life speaks to one America and provides one sort of answer. I hope that this show will speak to the other America, to those millions of people who want to create a meaningful life based on thoughtful evaluation and self-directed meaning-making. When you learn how to lead such a life, the following sorts of things happen. A creativity coaching client of mine, Jack, an actor, had excellent verbal skills but a poor physical presence on stage. With my help, he decided that he had to take responsibility for that aspect of his career, and invest his daily exercise routine with new meaning, transforming it from a chore into something much more valuable. Now, when he worked out, he paid less attention to how many reps he was doing, and much more attention to feeling strong and confident in his own skin. Jack used "I take responsibility" as his meaning-making mantra, and used it to motivate himself to change his stage presence. This is what I mean by making meaning. You decide that something is important to you, and then you take personal responsibility for doing what's required of you to achieve that goal and to turn that dream into a reality. Here's another example. Janet, a painter and a client of mine, realized that her environmental volunteer work, while it still remained meaningful to her, was also draining and exhausting her. With my help, she thought through how she wanted to prioritize the meaning in her life. She decided that her mental health was clearly a value worth supporting, and she made the pledge not to do more than 2 hours of volunteer work on any given day. As a result of her decision, she was able to maintain meaning in her volunteer work, while at the same time opening herself up to new meaning opportunities. Let me give you one more example. John, a writer and a client of mine, discovered that a book very similar to one that he was about to have published had suddenly appeared, stealing his thunder and maybe even rendering his book unwanted. To avoid the possibility that meaninglessness might overtake his project, he made the conscious decision to reinvest meaning in his book. He carefully analyzed the ways that his book and its rival differed and focused, in his mind and in his promotion campaign, on those real and significant differences. By understanding the language of meaning and the dynamics of meaning, and by getting a grip on his mind and his emotions, John avoided going down the tubes over a bit of bad luck. These may not sound like earth-shaking examples, but I'm presenting them to help us get started thinking about meaning in some common-sense ways. I believe that the very best way to think about meaning is to consider meaning a decision. Until we decide what is meaningful, nothing is. Life is an extraordinary canvas demanding that we turn to it with our heart and our cherished principles and fashion it into a thing made beautiful by the meaning we create. I hope to provide you with a complete blueprint for authentic living by helping you see that meaning is not a property of the universe, but a poignantly human activity. Armed with this paradigm shift, that meaning is a decision, you can turn your attention to investing life with all the meaning you could possibly want. Here are some of the things that I believe. I believe that there are no gods. I believe that the universe is meaningless. I believe that, despite the universe's essential indifference, human beings have nevertheless been built with meaning needs. And I believe that those meaning needs can be met through the activity of making meaning. At the heart of the existential effort to live authentically in an arbitrary universe that produces peaches and cancer with equal unconcern is your willingness to take responsibility for the life that you have been given. You opt, against the grain, for ethical action and for good works, for no other reason than that you want to make yourself feel proud. No one and nothing made you do it. It is simply the path you choose. I have really nothing to say about the non-existence of gods. The effort to prove the non-existence of entities that do not exist is only entertaining if you are young, and I am not that young anymore. Nor is it very amusing to dispute the usefulness of religion. There are much better ways to sing together and to share a pancake breakfast than while fibbing about the universe, but that's really the business of believers. I see my task as serving the non-believer, not to get believers to change. Believers look to be quite adamant about remaining chosen, knowing, protected, obligated, and all the rest. I wish that they could be changed, as they present a never-ending threat to reason and to justice, but I doubt that they can. From the beginning, for thousands of years now, we atheists and believers have fought. Ours is not at all a friendly antagonism. It is necessarily a kind of war because believers back the kinds of agendas that atheists must combat. Every believer who advocates for his God, his prejudice, and his self-interest threatens my liberty. When a believer just goes about his business doing good works, that is a beautiful thing. But the minute he announces that his God demands this or that, we had all better watch out. There is no terrible thing known to man that has not been perpetrated in the name of religion. You can see that I am not only chatting about meaning, I am also presenting it from an atheist viewpoint. In fact, I want to present a complete way of life based on atheism, an atheist way, if you like. This way is necessarily a way among believers, among people who claim to believe in gods. We must deal with them as they threaten us, but our main task is dealing with ourselves. There is a beautiful payoff in learning how to negotiate life as the helmsman or helmswoman of your ship, fully immersed in life, in the happy and the tragic, tasting victory and tasting defeat, and always eager to use your next hour to live out your principles and replenish your meaning. We have much to chat about. Let's continue our chat next week. That concludes today's show. I invite you to come back next week for the second show in the series, when we begin to carefully examine the terrain of meaning. To subscribe to Your Purpose-Centered Life, please visit personallifemedia.com, where you'll also find my blog. You can drop me an email at eric@personallifemedia.com, and I hope that you'll visit my website to learn more about my books and services. That's ericmaisel.com, ericmaisel.com. Thank you for listening.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.